Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And in the first of our interviews with candidates for President of Ireland, I'm joined now from our Dundalk studio by Fine Gael candidate Heather Humphreys. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
And thank you for joining us. My first question to you is, do you really want to be president, or were you bounced into running when Mairead McGuinness had to drop out for health reasons?
No, I want to be president because I love this country. I believe in the people of Ireland, in our communities, our shared strength and the opportunity that exists in every corner of this island. So the three values of community, unity and opportunity have shaped me as a person, and I want to take those values to the role of president. And I also want to bring the experience that I have over many years, my life experience as a credit union manager, my experience as a government minister, my experience as a county councillor, also my experience as a mother, as a grandmother, to this role.
Okay, but I suppose what people would want to know is, had it crossed your mind before Mairead McGuinness had to drop out?
Yeah, well, last January, there were a number of people who did approach me and said I should consider running for the presidency. And I decided at that time I wasn't going to go forward. And we always had knew in Fine Gael, and I always knew that Mairead was interested at a tilt in the presidency. Of course, I supported her in 2011 when she put her name forward.
So it was because she was out the front runner.
I knew her well. She's my neighbour, and I wasn't going to go against her.
Fair enough. But there is a niggle for people about your energy, isn't there? Because it's quite something to leave politics altogether, then come back a few months later asking voters to make you president.
Yes, well, I stepped down from national politics last October. I said at the time that I had served as 10 years as a cabinet minister. I'd given it my all, Claire, I really had. And sometimes it's time to step aside. 10 years was enough for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt it was important that people come forward with new ideas and fresh vision for different aspects of government.
Yeah, so fair enough. But do you see that the role of president might be less demanding then than that of a minister?
Well, I've had a great rest, by the way, I've spent the summer out in the garden, walking, getting fit. I have honestly never felt better as far as my health is concerned. And sometimes things happen in life for a reason. And I took this opportunity. I am so looking forward to it. The presidency is a different role to a government minister. A government minister is the front line of politics 24/7. The president is a different role, and I would not be taking this job on if I didn't think I could do it.
There's a reputation that you have within the party that we read about, and I see it said in analysis pieces that, you know, you're the mammy in Fine Gael. Heather put manners on you, she won't take any messing. But I'm not sure that we see that in person or that voters see that. Can you explain to me why you think that is?
Yeah, well, I'm a straight talker, Claire.
We don't see it though, do we? Like, let's take the debate the other night. It felt like you were sitting back a bit on Monday night.
No, I wasn't sitting back. I enjoyed the debate, and indeed a lot of people contacted me afterwards and they said, Heather, we liked your approach there. I suppose I'm not a confrontational person, but I'm very focused. When I want to achieve something and I see an injustice, I will speak out. When I work extremely hard, and I think my record as a government minister is very clear, because I brought in many different initiatives. And for example, it was nearly 30 years we were talking about auto enrolment. So that's a pension for people who don't currently have an occupational pension. And that's kicking in now on the 1st of January. I fought hard to make sure that happened, because I believe that the women, and it's mainly women of Ireland, deserve a pension when they retire on top of the state pension. So as I said, it took nearly 30 years for this to happen. Many ministers before tried it, but I was so determined and my resolve was strong that this would happen. And I'm very proud of that achievement. Mm-hmm. I rolled out the hot school meals to children, and I was in a school yesterday, and I sat down with the children and I actually had my lunch with them. They're getting.
Did you eat their food?
I did, and it was beautiful.
Some of it isn't great now, you know, and I say this as somebody who sees it coming back in the lunchboxes every afternoon almost. You know, are you happy with it?
Well, what I got yesterday was locally produced food. I had lovely turkey and potatoes and vegetables. I asked the children, they said they loved the dinner and it was produced in a local restaurant and it was okay. of a very high quality.
All right, listen, since you announced your candidacy, there have been some analysts who say that you find debates difficult, that you don't perform well sometimes in in-depth interviews. Do you think that's fair?
Well, I can I'm happy to talk to everybody. I'm happy to stand up for what I believe in. I want to let people know what my views are on the presidency. And I believe that the president speaks for everybody. It's an opportunity to be the voice of the nation. And I particularly want to focus on community and supporting mm-hmm. the unsung heroes in our in our community.
So that
the volunteers.
That accusation that you don't like debates, that you don't perform well in debates. Do you think it's not fair?
No, well, I'm happy to perform in debates. And I actually, when I was at school years ago, I was on the debating team. And maybe I hadn't been on television in nearly a year. And maybe I was a little bit rusty. Mm. But don't worry, I'll get back into it. And I'm not afraid to put my point forward to make my views known. And I will do that. But most importantly, I have some good initiatives that I want to bring forward to the presidency.
Okay, well, we'll talk about some of those, but I want to ask you about neutrality. I mean, do you think that as president you'd be loath to see any change in our status as a neutral country? Or do you believe in deeper military union with our EU colleagues when you see what is happening, even today where discussions are being had on mutual defence?
Yeah, well, I'm committed to our neutrality, and most Irish people, are of the same view. It's important. It has served us well. But I do accept that we're living in a changing world and we're part of the EU. And it's important that the EU is able to defend itself. And when I look at what's happened in Ukraine only last Saturday night, there was a massive drone attack. And but for the support that Germany and other countries are given to Ukraine, there would have been a massacre of people. Four people were killed. That's mm-hmm. terrible. But there could have been 4,000 killed. But, so it's important that we defend ourselves. But,
do you think we need a referendum on our neutrality at some point soon?
Well, look, that'll be a matter for the government. As I said, my personal view is that I want to maintain our neutrality. It's so important to us and mm-hmm. it has served us well.
But you do support the removal of the triple lock, and there are those who say that would fatally weaken Irish neutrality.
Yeah, but the legislation on the triple lock is really a matter for the Oireachtas. The president's
but it is Fine Gael policy.
Yeah, well, the president's only role is to ensure when that legislation is passed, if it's passed in the Oireachtas, that it complies with the constitution. But I can give you my personal view. I don't believe that Russia or China should have an input into our foreign policy and a veto as to where we send our peacekeepers. At the minute, it's the triple lock, it's what it's called. The government proposes it. The Dáil has to support it. And then finally, we have to go to the UN and we have to ask them for permission.
So you are in favour of the removal of the triple lock, which is a Fine Gael policy?
Well, as I said, I don't think that Russia and
yeah, but that's,
China...
that's a straight yes that you're in favour of removing that. Catherine Connolly compared what Germany is doing now to the rearmament by Nazi Germany in the 1930s. And I'm sure you saw in the Daily Mail today, the Irish Daily Mail, the German ambassador to Ireland pushing back against Catherine Connolly, saying Europe must be protected from those who threaten its security and freedom. Do you agree with Catherine Connolly or do you agree with the German ambassador?
Well, I didn't get a chance to read the article, but I agree with the German ambassador. We have to defend ourselves, and Russia is the aggressor here. Russia is the country that invaded Ukraine and caused so much loss of life and left Ukraine in the state that it's in today. It's absolutely awful, and we welcome so many Ukrainian people to this country. I spoke to somebody recently, and what's happening there is wrong. Russia is the country that has brought war back to Europe.
Okay, you have placed an emphasis in your campaign on your work on 1916 and the commemorations, and I think everybody would remember that as an inclusive event or series of events. But my question to you is, why didn't you use that goodwill and at that time become the voice of progressing the question of Irish unity in government?
Well, during 2016, we had a very inclusive and a very respectful commemorations. And as you know, Claire, there were many columns written about how divisive it could be and how it could go terribly wrong. I'm very proud that I led a team that made sure it was successful, and it did reach out the hand reconciliation to Northern Ireland as well.
But didn't see the opportunity that you had there to progress Irish unity, if that is your aim.
Yeah, well, I spoke very clearly at the time. I said I was a proud Ulster woman. I was a proud Irish Republican. And that's what, I am committed to uniting this country and to a united Ireland. I've never shied away from that. I've made that very clear. And I will work as president to build bridges with Northern Ireland, to build on the work of Mary McAleese, to build on all of the peace that was achieved there through Mo Molam, through Bertie Ahern. They all worked hard, and they worked quietly as well behind the scenes to move things on.
Yes.
As president, I will do that.
And tell me, what do you think a united Ireland would look like? Mm. What do you think would change for us?
Well, look, that will all form part of a discussion. I think that we have to break down the barriers first. We have to unite people, as John Hume said. And the role of president can be such that you visit, you talk, you bring people to the Oris.
Yes, but people are worried about, fundamental questions about the flag, whether it would change. Also questions like, does the 12th of July become a public holiday in the Republic?
Yeah, well, the flag, I think, when it's understood properly, is really a symbol of unity, because you have the orange of unionism and you have the green.
I did hear you say that on Monday night. So you're saying then that the flag wouldn't change, and you would expect unionists then to accept that?
No, I'm not saying that. And I know, Claire, if you want to achieve progress, there has to be discussions and there has to be solutions found. There has to be compromise, of course, on all sides. I don't know what... those are the conversations we need to have. Those are the conversations that I feel I can facilitate as president. And I have
a unique understanding. People will look to you for a vision here. What do you see? What will it look like? What can we expect?
Yes, well, it's based on the Good Friday Agreement, first and foremost. That's the agreement that everybody signed up to. We have to keep working on that. We have to build and build relationships. And we need to tell people in Northern Ireland, both nationalists and unionists, that this is a safe place. Ireland is a safe country that recognises their traditions, that is welcoming to everybody.
Okay, so in recognising their traditions, we may have to accept something like the 12th of July becoming a public holiday here. That might be part of the compromise.
Yeah, well, look, the 12th of July is just one issue, and that's something that I'm sure there's a lot of people would like another public holiday in this country. I have no doubt about that. But I'm not saying that that is what we need to do. But these are the discussions that we have to have. And indeed, Mary McAleese, when she was president, she always brought people to the Oris on the 12th of July from Northern Ireland. So we should be respectful of all traditions on this island. And until we do that, we're not going to move forward.
OK, you mentioned women earlier on in the context of pensions, and people might remember that you were Director of Elections for the referendum on women in the home, which didn't pass. But why didn't you do any head-to-head television or radio debates in that campaign?
Yeah, well, I did. I was on your show, Claire, and I outlined very clearly what we were trying to achieve. Now,
I don't think you did appear on this show.
Oh, I was. I was on with you, Claire. I spoke to you about the different aspects of the referendum. And when I look back now, I think perhaps there should have been more groundwork done. Yeah. People didn't understand what a durable relationship was. Yeah. People weren't sure.
You didn't do a debate on that issue. You certainly didn't do one on this show. Well, which I remember very clearly.
Yeah, well, there were many others did debates. I was heading it up on behalf of Fine Gael. Roderick O'Gorman headed up the referendum on behalf of government, because it was from his department at the time.
All right, but
time.
Did you believe in the premise of the referendum that was put forward by your government, but then roundly roundly rejected by the people.
Yeah, well, as I said, I think maybe more groundwork should have been done on it. But having said that, the people are sovereign. They made the decision. I absolutely respect their decision. And, you know, when you put things out to a referendum, the people are generally right. They get it right. Mm. I'm happy that I accept what they decided at the time.
OK, but I suppose what you're saying to people now is, I understand you. I get where you're coming from, where you're at. But what we saw with the referendum, when you were in charge of it, you were selling something that people just didn't see the wisdom of.
Yeah, well, Pete, as I said, the term durable relationship was very vague. And the idea of striving support care, it wasn't strong enough. And, you know, people were in doubt about it. They weren't sure. And the old saying goes, if in doubt, leave it out. Yeah. And that's what the people decided
but
to
you
do.
Still, you still were in charge of putting that to the people. You still supported that going forward to the people.
Yeah, well,
you're saying now you shouldn't have because it wasn't right.
No, what I'm saying is, Claire, is that this came from the Citizens Assembly. There was a very strong recommendations from a Citizens Assembly that the word woman in the home should be taken out of the Constitution, and of course that you should have we should recognise other partnerships other than marriage. Mm-hmm. That was the recommendation, and the government tried to bring forward a form of wording that would try to do that. And as I said, we probably didn't put in enough work. But having said all that,
that's some admission, isn't it?
Well, maybe people didn't understand. Maybe we should have put in more groundwork. I'm not. Yeah, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Because it was confusing. And people made their decision, and I respect the decision of the people. That is democracy.
But when you were asked to be Director of Elections, did you look at the wording and go, lads, this isn't going to wash? But you still went ahead and you were Director of Elections.
We all decided this was the best form of wording that could be found at the time, and that's it, Claire. Mm-hmm. This presidency is not about a referendum that was held in the past. The decision is made, and as president, that's the business. I would have no role in that. That would be the business of government. We elect a government every 5 years to make these decisions, to bring forward legislation. The role of the president is to check if the legislation...
No, and I understand that, but I suppose this is about
within the Constitution.
Having this conversation and exploring these matters is just for people to see the whites of your eyes, if you like, so then get to know you and get to know where you're coming from, which is why I'm asking you these questions.
Yeah.
Another issue that caused controversy for you and might lead people to question whether you understand their lived experience is that decision to instigate the disability reforms during your time in the Department of Social Protection. Was it Simon Harris who told you to drop it?
It certainly was not. I decided that myself. And can I just say, I have worked very hard to help carers and disabled people. I increased their payments in successive budgets. I brought in Catherine's Law to help students with disabilities. I brought in a free medical or free travel pass for those who are medically unfit to drive. The Green Paper was only ever a consultation document. It came on foot off a cost of disability report, which clearly said that people who have profound disabilities incur more cost.
It was when Simon Harris became leader of the party that just disappeared. People were furious about it.
No, I don't agree with you with what you're saying there, Claire. That's not what happened. I did consultations. I met people. I talked to people. I went round to many different meetings to hear their views on it. And there was genuine concerns out there on the Green Paper. So I did not proceed with it. And I think it was better that I listened to people and acted on what they told me. I did not proceed on it because I said, this is not going to work. I clearly said to my officials, we'll have to go back to the drawing board. This won't work. And it was never my intention to cause upset to anybody.
So Simon Harris had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Absolutely not.
Okay, let's focus for a moment on the presidency. What do you think the job of president is?
Yeah, well, the job of president is to speak for people, to speak up where they see injustices, and to represent the views of the nation, and to speak to unify people. I also see the president's role as somebody who can support communities. We have a wonderful country with so many volunteers. So it's whether it's in our GAA clubs, in our credit unions, in many different organisations across this country.
That's quite similar to what Jim Gavin would do?
Well, I have outlined this very clearly, and I have a track record in working with volunteers. I've worked with them very closely over the years as Minister for Rural and Community Development. I've visited every county in this country. I've seen firsthand the work they do, and I've always said to them, thank you for the work you do. We wouldn't have this country without your support.
Listen, do you want to leave Monaghan and live in Dublin? Who's going to run the farm?
Yeah, well, I will be living in Orsanuachtaran, and Eric will be living there with me as well. Now, he is a farmer, and he does need to look after his farm, and he'll continue to do that. But he has always supported me throughout my life in politics, whatever I have done. And I can assure you, when I need him, he'll be there standing right beside me.
OK, so we had Mary McAleese, who you mentioned, and people will remember she brought the British monarch to Ireland successfully, Michael D. Higgins, really pressing against the political boundaries, putting the government under pressure at times and creating headlines with his very outspoken views in moments over his years. Where are you going to be on that spectrum? I mean, are you going to play it safe?
The presidency is above politics, and I did, you know, Michael D. Higgins, he was a former government minister, and I honestly believe that the experience he has stood him well. I will speak up. I will speak up for when I see an injustice, and I will never be afraid to speak for the people of Ireland. But there are opportunities where you meet the Taoiseach on a very, very regular basis, every 6 weeks or so, and you can raise the concerns. Now, I plan to use the presidency to go out into every corner of this country, to listen to people, to hear their views, where there's an opportunity to sit down and have that chat. It's not always about presidential visits to counties. It's also about sitting down and talking to people. And that's something that I do well, and it's something that I really, really enjoy.
Heather Humphreys, Fine Gael candidate for President of Ireland, thank you for joining us. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.